Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mr. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline, and I hope he's ready for trivia. That I expect, I expect you to dominate here, Sal. I expect you to do very well. It's going to be right in your wheelhouse for the Bills. Good morning.
Okay. I am ready. Good morning to you. Obviously, a lot going on last night, so
yeah.
I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah. So, all right, the Sabres game last night, and Trey White's back. We got a lot going on. I asked Joe to find how many Bills players have had return engagements in the McDermott Bean era. Because Trey White becomes the what number, Joe? So, this is where Sal can dominate the trivia enough to now where he not only gets all the answers, but he could even go above and beyond it. Because this is just me looking back, just trying to find them. There's no, list you can plug into StatHead, from what I see. So I've got 14 Bills in the McDermott Bean era that have left, gone somewhere else, and then came back.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
That's a lot. It's more than I thought.
It's a big number, right?
It's a lot.
How many quarterbacks, though? Like Trubisky and
two
quarterbacks.
Barkley.
You got the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm going to count them a little less, but, Trey White joins.
Can I ask you a question? We have to have them play a regular season game in both stints?
Active. Yeah, so like Barkley, for instance, I've got being active in a game. Didn't play in one. So, yeah, you had to be on the other team in between.
Yeah.
Jordan Phillips, Shaq Lawson.
Yep. Yes.
Dean Marlowe, who they traded for to come back. A lot of these other guys are just signed back. Marlowe was traded for. Yep.
Lee Smith, was he on this list?
Lee Smith.
All right, tight end.
A very
Lee
good
Smith.
One. Yep.
I'm thinking of offensive linemen.
EJ Gaines was here twice. Here. Right?
Oh, he was. That's right.
Yep. There's one. We're going to make that a 15th name now because I did not have EJ Gaines on here.
Might not get them all. Trey White back for a second stint. How many Bills?
Trey White is, by the way, one of the names on this list. Right. Obviously, the inspiration for the list.
Is AJ Klein? Do we already say him? Did he play?
He's
AJ Klein is
on this list.
16 names.
Okay,
I wonder if this list is going to get to 20.
All right, we got to stop the trivia because we don't know. It's a lot. Who do you have?
So, do you want any more guesses, Sal, or do you want me to read them off? I've got two more corners.
Dane Jackson?
Dane Jackson, obviously.
Did Tywan Jones, did he leave and come back?
Okay, so I don't have him as one of the corners, but I have him written down here. I don't know what position.
Yep.
So, Tywan Jones was on the Bills.
Oh.
left, beat them
With the Texans.
With the Texans, with the big catch in the playoffs, and then came back.
Yeah.
So Tywan Jones is correct, yeah.
I got one, Colton Schmidt, I believe, right?
Colton Schmidt, the punter?
Yeah. Didn't he leave and come back for like a very, very brief stint? Or
I don't know.
There was a punter.
Him.
Maybe it wasn't him. Who was the punter?
Yeah, because I don't have Schmidt being on another team.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
I'll read you who I thought. Yeah, I'll read you who I have while we think of that. Josh Norman left for 2 years and came back.
Yeah. Right?
Quentin Jefferson.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Last year, Quentin Jefferson came back. Obviously, Cole Beasley and John Brown.
Right.
Both left and came back.
Cole Beasley, John Brown. That's right, yeah.
Brown caught one pass, big touchdown against the, I think it was the Jets. And then Deontay Thompson.
Okay.
Left and came back. 2017 wide receiver. And then I think that's it. You got the rest for the McDermott Bean era. You mentioned Peerless Price.
Yep.
Before the break is prior.
That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, and also Percy Harvin apparently came back for like two games. After his original
who I was thinking of, it was not Colton Schmidt. There was a punter last year they brought back. We never made the team again, but he had been the punter years ago, and I can't remember who it was.
Matt Hawk?
Was it Matt Gay? Matt Hawk.
Matt Hawk. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he was with the Bills in 21, and then, right, he was back last year in, like, was it the preseason or whenever it was?
All right.
Yeah, listen, I want to make this point because I think it's relevant to the discussion here. You know, I think people... And I say this all the time, right? Like, fans look at things just solely through, you know, their own team's prism way too much. They don't see what's happening around the league. They think they're the only their team is the only team doing something. Why can't our team do this? Everybody else does. Not true. I bet you this is pretty common with many teams in the league that have the same regime for 8 years, right? Yep. Where you bring in guys. This goes back to the why do they always bring guys from Carolina point. Well, look at this is what teams do when you have regimes that cross over, when you have coaches that go somewhere else. A coach that coaches somewhere else, like Rex Ryan brought a lot of guys from the Ravens to the Jets when he went there. For several years, right? It just happens. So this point you're making, I guarantee you, people are out there going, yep, this is what the Bills do. They just bring back these older guys and they only know their guys. No, it's because they're comfortable. They know the system. And if you look around the league, there, I guarantee you, are other teams who a coach has been there 5-6 years, they bring guys back. The GM's been there for 5-6 years. They bring guys back because they know the guys. They're comfortable with them. They know the system. They can fit them right in. So I just want to make that point because I don't think this is unique to the Bills. What is unique to the Bills is to have the same GM and coach for 8 years to have that list grow even larger.
Yeah, it is interesting, Sal, that like the other part of your point here is that none of these guys were ever – like big investments. No one was ever
right.
A lot of these guys are 1 and 2 games, right? Beasley Brown, it's a few games. Josh Norman comes back, it's a couple of games. And Quentin Jefferson, Jordan Phillips last year, it's half a season. Sometimes it is right in the middle of a season.
Did you even mention Dane Jackson in your
Jackson?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're okay. Yeah.
Like Trey White might honestly be the largest investment of any of these players we just read off the list. And, I mean, it says up to $6.8 million, but I don't think anybody's believing that a lot of that isn't incentives.
Agreed. And you guys just said it at the break, and I got confirmation last night just to make sure on this, that you know, they are still on the hook for $4.13 million, I think the total is. It's whatever it was when they made him a June 1st cut last year. They had to divide that cap up, that dead cap between last year and this year, by making him a June 1st cut. So whatever his cap hit this year, you add on that $4.1 million, and that's what he's costing on the cap this year for two separate contracts, essentially. I agree with you. I'd be really surprised if it's $10 million, right? I mean, they're not giving him that. So these are probably not likely to be earned bonuses because, as we talked about before, this went back to the Matt Milano thing where when they restructured his contract, Matt Milano has some very achievable bonuses. However, since he didn't play as much last year, he didn't hit those numbers last year because of the injury, they're going to be called not likely to be earned, which means that they don't count on this year's cap. But if he hits them, they count on next year's cap. Because Tre'Davious White really didn't play a ton last year, he was on two different teams, he was inactive for some, and he wasn't a main starter for the Rams or Ravens, really. My guess is, guys, I don't know this, we don't know the details yet, but I think it's a pretty good guess here that he's going to have some incentives that might be reachable, but they're going to be not likely to be earned because he didn't reach them last year. That's how it works. So therefore, they won't count on this year's cap.
All right. So we wait to see the numbers to find out just kind of what that is, Sal. It could be an awful lot of not likely to be earned incentives. You know, the first question, obviously, given the timing of this, you've seen a lot of Bills fans immediately asking, does this change in any way the way they approach next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Tre'Davious White, who likely raises their floor defensively at that position. Do you have the belief that it alters it at all in the slightest bit the way they approach Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
No, because from my perspective, you guys know this, I've said this many times, I have said this, and this is what I still believe, and even more so now, the Bills will draft a cornerback within their first three picks. They're not drafting one in the first round. Like, that's what I believed. I've said this. My thought all along, and I've been consistent on this, and I still believe this now, even more so after the signing, which is the Bills are going to draft defensive line with their first pick, and then their next two picks are going to be a combination of defensive line and corner in some capacity. I believe that. Now, is it possible that a wide receiver they really love falls, and they say, you know what, we just can't, you know, pass up the value? A safety really falls, and they can't pass up the value? I just don't think those positions are truly in play other than that circumstance over the first three picks. I've believed all along, and I've stayed on this, and I believe this today as I sit here now even more. D-line is their first pick. Corner is coming in the first three picks. I don't think it changes that, guys. They need a young corner that can still play and start. I mean, look, I know they just signed Tre'Davious White. He's been a fan favorite. They're giving him possibly up to $6.8 million. I would guess that even inside one Bills drive, they're thinking, is this going to work? We don't know. Well, we better still go get a young guy because, A, it's a one-year deal, and it's a guy that, you know that had a couple injuries, and that's why we moved on from him originally. So I don't think it changes any of that.
All right. You're confident corner won't be that first pick?
I am.
All right.
Well, right now, I am. I don't know the Bills board, right? I don't know. Do they have Marcus Harrison ranked 15th overall on their board and he drops to 30? Sure. I mean, that could obviously happen. So, sure. You get old takes exposed, right, when that happens. I don't know the Bills board. But I have always believed that D-line is going to be their first pick because it's a guy that's going to play right away versus – you guys remember, what did I say? Joe, we had this conversation the other day, yesterday, when Jeremy was off. And I said it this way, Jeremy, which is, we talked about veteran corners and how you can get a guy that can kind of play a little bit. You already have Dane Jackson. What do you have at D-line? You got to play somebody. They got three guys, three. I mean, they released Branson Dean yesterday. They got Zion Logue. I'm not counting him. All you have on the roster right now, because Ogunjobi is suspended, is Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. Literally, like, they have to find a starter, essentially, at that position. They don't do that. Have to do that at the corner.
Right. Only two players that would have been active for the entirety of last season, too. That also could be the board, right, Sal? Like, I've asked, I'm trying to remember which draft guest, because it's actually been a couple of them, about the Bills and corner at 30 and what might be available to them. And it might be dependent on whether, like, Hairston falls or if the Bills are intrigued by guys with injury history like Revell and the Notre Dame kid. But the couple times it's been, you know, if they want a corner, they should probably trade down. That kind of sounds to me like, well, you might as well maybe just wait till the second round then. And that's just from the players that are available in this class versus what the Bills might be thinking about at the position for themselves.
Yeah, now this is a good point. Like, Jeremy, I think that could happen too, right? If you trade down, maybe it changes the dynamic here. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go from 30, like last year went from 28 to 30 to 33 or whatever it was. You know, if you do that once or twice this year and you're in the middle or top 10 of the second round, maybe that changes the dynamic. And now you say, yeah, now we can get our corner. I believe that if they stay relatively where they are at 30, 56, and 60, that they're in somewhere near there. Those three picks are still, to me, a combination of 2D linemen and a corner. And I don't think the corner is first.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. You know, Sal, as we look at the players they've brought in, we could get to the corners first because sometimes you get a look at let me back up. The way they bring guys in, was having a conversation about this with somebody this week. Visits, top 30 visits, you know, what are these reserved for? These are players they're interested in, they want to A, know more about or show themselves more of the Bills to the prospects. It's kind of an interesting game to play or to track because you see not only the positions the Bills are valuing, but also maybe the rounds they think it might be relevant, right? Sometimes, yeah. Hey, these are third-round receivers. Hey, these are second-round defensive tackles. Like Travis Hunter's not in for a visit because the Bills don't think he's going to be available. So when you look at it that way, what do you think you can take out of the Bills' visits? Four corners, like 10 defensive linemen, seven receivers. We don't have all 30, but do you feel like you get a good picture of the way the draft falls based on that?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Jeremy, that like those receivers they've been bringing in are generally considered day three receivers, right? You look at the list. I don't have it in front of me. I have to go back and look. But you look at the list they have brought in so far, and it's generally been a lot of guys who not many expect to go very early in the draft, but are draftable guys, and people are going to take them at some point. They also have another common trait, speed. They brought in a lot of speed guys that are fast. I think that's your clue, too. Okay, they're looking. They're targeting a specific guy. If you're targeting a specific guy, what did Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott said about wide receiver? Well, yeah, fast is great. We love speed, but you have to be a football player. I think they bring these guys in to make sure do they check the other boxes for us? Yes, we know they have the speed. We've seen them play. We've timed them. Let's just make sure they check the other boxes, because if we're going to take a guy, we want to have a football player. That's not a guy you take in the first round necessarily, right? If you're just targeting that specific guy and you want to make sure he's got those other traits that you're comfortable with, I think those are a little bit later. So for sure on that, I think that everybody can see it's clear, right? This is a roster that's ready made. We know that. It's been to the AFC Championship game. It's been in the playoffs, seven of the last 8 years. They're highly successful. They haven't had a ton of turnover this offseason. I don't think you're hiding any secrets here if you're the Buffalo Bills. Everybody in the world sees where you kind of need some help, mostly on the defensive side, mostly at defensive line, a little bit in the secondary. And, you're looking for a speed guy, wide receiver in those positions. And I think that the visits have kind of spoken to that.
Sal Capaccio with us on the West Hur Hotline. Sal, what about when thinking about corner, do you think the Bills have a urge or a will to want to change kind of what they've had at corner in terms of the skill set and what type of corner that they have, man coverage maybe? You mentioned yesterday when you were on with us, Darian Porter, who's a different type mm-hmm. of corner than they've had. He's bigger and he's faster and there's man coverage skills there, but he might be a little bit raw. And they did try to pick Elam, right, and make that work. But do you feel like they would want to try that again? Or would they think, we did try it and it blew up in her face, so let's do the things that we know works?
I don't think anything that happened with Kyer Elam changes how they view what they should do with another player there early, if that makes sense, right? Like, that's a guy that just didn't work out. It happens sometimes. Because one guy didn't work out, I don't think that you change your philosophy on the kind of guy that you want or what you're looking for. You just need to do it better. You need to do better research on who that guy is and how he's going to fit. And then once he gets to your building, it's on you, it's on him, it's on everybody. The Bills have a very good track record here over the last 8 years in this regime of developing players. They have one of the best player developments in the organization, in the league. They really do. Look around the league. These guys that are stepping in every year, it seems like, to step in and fill in and play. Whether it's an Alec Anderson or a Jamarcus Ingram, right? I mean, like, these guys just, they're on the team. Joey Andreessen, right? It doesn't matter if it's a smaller role. The Bills are very good at that. For some reason, and it could be development even of an earlier pick, that's fine. I mean, James Cook, look what he's grown into. Now, not all of them have great. We know that. There's been some misses. Kyer Elam just didn't work. I don't think that changes what they feel about how they go about who they draft. I think the question, though, Joe, seriously is, do they, independent of Kyer Elam, independent of him, do they just feel that they need something different at corner because of how the season ended and said, you know what, we just needed someone that was a little bit more man-to-man. When we got in a position, we didn't have that particular player. Maybe they're thinking of the whole season and say, when we match up with these teams like the Baltimore Ravens and they have these great tight ends and now they're adding, and they've, Zay Flowers or a couple receivers they've added with an MVP caliber quarterback. When we play this year, the Cincinnati Bengals and all those receivers, when we play the Philadelphia Eagles, we're going to need a little bit more. And I do think that maybe that could be in the cards here. Mike Pellegrino comes over from the Patriots. He's now their Nichols coach, replacing Scott Booker. He's a guy that has a lot of experience with a lot of man-to-man stuff under Bill Belichick. Ryan Nielsen comes over as a senior defensive assistant. He's been with a lot of man-to-man. Now, are those clues that they want to change? I don't know if it's chicken or egg, but I do think you feel more comfortable saying maybe that you can do this now, and I think you feel comfortable if you want to play that style.
Scott and Cheektowaga up with Sal. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Sal, good morning. Glad you're on. question, well, comment really. What's the Harbaugh brother in California?
Jim.
Jim.
All right, so Jim Harbaugh has been quoted before as saying that Grant, the nose tackle from Michigan, is like a gift from the football gods, and he was glad he had a chance to coach him. I just think that guy at 330 pounds is exactly what we have been missing since Sam Adams. And I always believed that a top shutdown corner or a big, beefy defensive line are each other's best friends. And if we're lacking the depth at corner, we're not leaving the guys on an island if our guys on the line can stop the run and rush the passer faster. I just think that if you can't get one in the first round, Sal's point about defensive line in the first round makes a ton of sense to me.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, you mixed two names there. There's Mason Graham and Kenneth mm-hmm. Grant. And Graham mm-hmm. will be long gone by the time the Bills pick. Mm-hmm. But Kenneth Grant is a very frequent Bills mock draft, whatever, projection. And, yeah, Sal, by the time we get to next week, Thursday, you know, when we're out at Resurgence and someone says, who's it going to be? I'm going to walk in there thinking they're coming out with Kenneth Grant if he makes it that far. Because, like he said, a big, young defensive tackle. If there's something the Eagles have done, it's they've drafted a lot on that side of the ball, and they've not hit on everything, but, you know, they whatever. I'm not sure the Bills have learned anything from the Eagles' model, because the Bills have been investing in that spot, but this is a spot that they have not had someone like this in quite some time, so that's where Kenneth Grant, I think, is a very, very likely target.
Well, I think he's one of them. I think there are several that could be right there. A lot of the mocks and simulations that I've done, you know, sometimes Walter Nolan is still there. Is he a guy? I don't know. Might be a little bit smaller. I mean, I love Derek Harmon. I think he probably goes a little bit before the Bills, right? If Derek Harmon is there, I think you jump on him at number 30. He's the player from Oregon, obviously. And then how about Tyleek Williams? I think Tyleek Williams checks a lot of these boxes. The only thing about Tyleek Williams, he's Ohio State, by the way. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing Sean McDermott say the word long. He's not long, right? He's a little less long. Well, we talk about these guys not being long. They're monsters, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. But, I mean, he's not necessarily the longest guy, but I still think he fits everything else they want. He's a real, you know, he's an anchor. He can be a run stuffer. He's 330 pounds. I think Tyleek Williams, Derek Harmon, I think, is right there. Nolan, there's several guys. I agree with you. I think Grant is a guy that could fit there. On the caller's point, though, about what Jim Harbaugh said, listen, that's great, okay? He also coached him at Michigan. I mean, Fran Brown said that Kyle McCord's a first-round pick, and I don't think that's the case necessarily. I mean, I love Kyle McCord and I love Fran Brown, but let's remember what we're talking about and take that with the fact that these guys have these emotional attachments to him.
Yep. All right, Sal. Well, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk next week as we get to draft week.
Yeah, for sure. And today at 10:30, I'm going to have Jeremy Kahn from Baltimore at our Odyssey sister station to talk about Tre'Davious White's time in Baltimore last year. I think if you do some search out there, I think he was a little better than people thought in Baltimore. I'm not sitting here telling you he was an all-pro. That's not the case. But it certainly didn't work out with the Rams. But once he got to Baltimore, I think there was a bit of a trajectory that he was climbing up a little bit. And then, of course, we saw him here in Buffalo in the playoff game, and he had the pass interference penalty as well. You know, but Jeremy Kahn, he'll tell us about that as well as the Ravens offseason. I also want to say worth noting, because I tweeted this out last night. I think I told you guys this when I saw you after at some point last year. After the Ravens-Bills playoff game last year, I saw Tre'Davious White. We talked for quite a while. He loves Buffalo so much. And I said, you know, you're going to be free agent, right? And he got this big smile on his face. I said, what would you think? He said, oh, I want to be back here. I'd love to be back here. I don't know, but, you know, it would be great to come back here. And that always just stuck with me that, you know, he said that if he had that opportunity, he would love to come back to Buffalo. So obviously this is something that presented itself and it was able to happen. But I remember that when that happened after that playoff game that he specifically, you know, said, and, you know, I mean, you're going to, I think in the moment you could say that anyway, but we know how much he does love Buffalo, but he clearly said and felt at that moment that, you know, that was something he wanted to try to make happen.
The Bills website lists Derek Forrest as number 27, but he hasn't worn it yet. So who's going to get 27?
There you go.
Got to give it to Trey.
It's got to be Trey.
I think
White,
it's Trey.
Right?
It's Trey. Yeah, I think it's Trey. I don't think you.
Yeah. Yeah, the other guy hasn't worn it yet.
Something else.
Yeah. I mean, when he goes in the future Bills Wall of Fame remembrance, he's going to have a number next to his name. You don't have to have two numbers there. Not that he would, you know, get it the second time too.
No, what
but
did
anyway.
Derek? He was Derek Forrest was 22 with the Commanders, but
that's Ray Davis, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can give him another number; he'll be fine.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Paul Hamilton, an hour from now on the Sabres, their season closes. We're looking at the Kevin Adams, Lindy Ruff press conference likely tomorrow. We'll double check on that once we have that locked in on time. 803-0550. I got something for you when we get back.
You've got something, and I've got my mind is creeping towards receiver at 30.
Okay, good, because I want to talk receiver.
Sal talking about corner. I've got a thought about defensive tackle. There's a thought about defensive end. I'm working my way to receiver by next Thursday.
All right. Well, I don't know that that'll happen, but the thought I wanted to bring you is about receiver, because Sal echoed something there. He relayed something Sean McDermott said. Speed's great, but you got to be a football player. I want to mention a name. I got to ask if he's a football player when we get back. And it's not. No, it's not Xavier Worthy. Okay, we're not going to. Fine. Is this guy count as a football player? Would Sean McDermott call him a football player? We'll find out next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I would love to see somebody who can take the top off a defense, right? And that's not to say, I think that would help free up Shakir for a little bit more work underneath and all that. And so obviously Keon Coleman has the potential to be a big play guy, but not a speed merchant. That's not somebody you would say, all right, go blow by this guy in off coverage. That doesn't really, you know, I don't think that's his role. So somebody who kind of complements the big go up and get a target and the quick shifty slot guy. So
Eric Edholm, he was on with you guys yesterday. You and Derek were here. I was off celebrating Arsenal's Champions League win over Real Madrid.
The win that they were like 97%.
That's the one. That's the one. Felt great. Eric at home. All right, so Sal mentioned something. By the way, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Friday. High of 70 today.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Little rain later, though, right? Or there's a chance of it. There's a chance of it.
If I could ask a question about, is this guy a football player? Because the Bills, McDermott said it, was it at the combine, and Sal brought it up and said, like, don't forget, Sean McDermott says, like, speed's great, but they got to be a football player.
Bean says the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. And maybe that's the reason they didn't take Worthy, despite really liking him. Joe Brady, Tyler Dunn's reporting on that, asking Worthy about it. He wrote about it again yesterday about receiver, that Brady really loved Worthy, and they connected on a deep level, is what Worthy told Tyler Dunn. And they don't take Worthy, they take Keon Coleman, they trade down, they make their moves. You know, the Bills, as an entity, would have disagreements in the room and whatever. Why don't they take the receiver that they really hit it off with and they really liked? Maybe they don't think he's a football player, in finger quotes. We don't just want small guys, we want football players. And Worthy's one example, so forget about him. Put him on the side. Is Devonta Smith, is Devonta or Devontae Smith, which one is it? Either one. Is he a football?
I knew it, and then I've heard it twice. But it's Devonta Smith.
Okay, because every time I say it, the chat corrects me that I did it the wrong way. Because there's, you know, some are Devontae.
I knew it right forever, and then that whole got me mixed up. But it's anyway, Devonta Smith.
Yeah. Devonta Smith. Is he a football player? 170 pounds.
He is
top drafted receiver. Caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. One of the best wide receiver tandems in the league. They have
AJ
Brown is the beast, and Smith is awesome.
Yeah, the Slim Reaper.
Would the Bills consider him a football player? I guess I'm wondering the speed element that they get when they draft their speed guy. Let's say it's fourth round. Let's say it's third round. You put it wherever you want. Mm-hmm. Is that guy going to be 6'3", no matter what? Because they don't really want small receivers. Shakir is the smallest guy they've got.
Yeah, but even he's compact, right? And he's strong, and he bounces off people.
Contact balance.
And he blocks a little bit.
Yep.
Is that really all it is? Is they only want receivers to block? Or that's a...
I don't know.
Maybe not a requirement, but if you're not... Basically, if you're not going to block for us, you better be like an all-world prospect. Because when's the last receiver they have brought in or given any sort of investment to that wasn't at least an average block, seen as an average blocker?
Yeah. They always
have. Diggs even was, right? Like, do I have to go all the way back to, Brown and Beasley? They were small receivers. It is now 6 years since they brought those two in, though.
Yeah.
So I can go that far back if you want. But since then, Bean also talked about this year at, I think this was also at the Combine, he did, 45 minutes with Pat McAfee, and he kind of admitted to, you know, I don't know if we're more built for Buffalo now than we were when I first got here and the first team that I built. And he talked about that like they've corrected something. And sure, there is merit to doing that. Your run game is going to be better, and the sport has changed that way. I hope that that's why they did it, not because it's windy once a year. A lot more than once a year, but you know what I mean.
It's soon to be less windy.
It's going
to
be less, right, that's right. They're building a stadium, it'll be less windy.
The future of these games is less windy.
Right. So he kind of gave voice to, yeah, more physical, bigger, you know, we're the Buffalo Bills. We should be a little bit more like that. And his actions do kind of represent that.
Mm-hmm.
Because since they signed Beasley and Brown, and even Diggs to a lesser extent, because Diggs was a fine blocker and was a little bit bigger than those two, they don't bring in those guys.
They do, but they do for like the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th receiver spots at training camp, like your Andy Isabella,
sure,
KJ right. Hamler.
Right, not guys that you would ever anticipate playing meaningful snaps.
No.
More than a couple snaps a game.
And if they draft a guy, whatever, McDermott says horizontal and vertical speed, and Bean did it at some point this year in the offseason too, talking about like track stars and...
Yeah.
I mean...
And some offenses, by the way, are designed that way. Like, I mentioned this last week, and the Rams just re-signed him. But the Rams and Tutu Atwell is always an interesting dynamic to me.
Because he's so different from what they do.
Because, right, McVay needs his receivers to be physical and to block and to be bigger. And that's just incorporated into their offense. And Tutu Atwell, they spent a second-round pick on. He is 5'9", 165 pounds. He is like the smallest player in the league. So when they drafted him, I think there was confusion. Like, that does not fit what the Rams do. But sure enough, he never really played for them. But yet they signed him back, and they gave him $10 million.
And McVay said they've got to get him involved.
Right, so they maybe are telling you, we are going to change a little bit. Like, here's a guy that doesn't really fit what we do, but we want to work ways to get him involved in the game. And the Bills don't have a guy on the roster that I would think about that for. Like, you kind of got to change what you do a little bit. You got to have a certain package to fit that level of speed. The Bills don't have a player on the roster like that. If they were to get one, even if it was in round four, I think it'd be interesting to how they would use him. How often would he play? If they draft one of these seven receivers that they've had in on visits, that's going to be a day three pick. They draft one of them in the fourth round, and he runs a 4.35, but he's not the biggest guy in the world. How do we think he's going to get used in year one? Or even beyond that? Is he going to be on the field a lot? Is he going to be an all-down player? This was even a thing with Isaiah McKenzie a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. McKenzie had a couple years where he'd do some nice things.
Really nice things.
And he'd be inactive sometimes.
Yeah. And then they...
Or he just would play like eight snaps.
And then there was a year they decided, let's look for more from him.
They did do
and
that.
And it did not work.
Right. They did have a year where they threw him out there. Yeah.
What was your receiver thought you said going to the break? You're starting to lean more that way? I want
to
say...
It's less to do about the receiver itself, though, and more about the other positions. I feel like I got a reason why they might not do all these other defensive positions. Sal giving voice to that a little bit with cornerback, why like he doesn't think that'll be the
he
pick at 30.
He sounds really confident they're not going corner with their first pick.
So there's corner. There's maybe it won't be corner. And defensive end. Well, they did invest in it. They brought in Joey Bosa. They don't have to do defensive end in the first round when Michael Hoyt comes back and you've already got Rousseau and Epinesa. Like, you've got numbers there. Defensive tackle is the one where, like, that's the one Sal kind of implies, like, he thinks, like, that's the need. And the caller from last segment brings up the guy from Michigan, Kenneth Grant. The thing about defensive tackle, though, is it is a one-technique defensive tackle. It is not just opposite of what they do at that position under Sean McDermott. It is opposite of their philosophy on defense in totally for what they do on defense. Their whole thing defensively has been, we are going to stop the pass. We are going to try to stop the pass. And for all the complaints that fans have had about their run defense in these 7 years, and there have been games, Jonathan Taylor, and there was an Eagles
Derrick Henry,
there have been
games, a Saints game in there,
where they could not stop the run. There have been seasons where they could not stop the run, and the Bills' actions have basically said, yeah, we don't really care about it. We're fine. We want to stop the pass. Taron Johnson's talked that way. And
Taron Johnson flat out said, we want teams to run.
Right.
We want to invite the run. That's what they do.
Right. So they're going to do what now? They're going to go draft a 330-pound defensive tackle because he's good at stopping the run on a rush defense that, by the way, by DVOA was 10th last year. They weren't even bad. So I'm going to fix my not bad run game when they don't care about stopping the run game with my first pick? That makes sense to everybody?
I mean,
it's a need, and they don't have a guy, but it does not line up with how they treat that role and that value.
Well, if we're doing how they have treated value, do they value receiver enough to take one in the first round when they feel like they don't need one? Probably not.
Right, which is why I feel like I kind of have an argument now against every position.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Safety, there's an argument against it. Corner was the one, I didn't really have a great argument against it, but Sal made a good case, and we have had guests on that have said there might not be a corner that's worth the 30th pick when you get up to bat. It might be a trade down because, yeah, like the next guy is like 15 spots lower than where you pick.
803-0550. As you make the case against every position, what you're really pointing to is they don't need 10 picks. They don't need all these picks. Trading down is not something they should really be thinking about too much.
Yeah.
Trading up should be in the cards. I'm ready to start banging the table for whatever. Not exactly like I want them to trade up no matter what, but I'm starting to launch an offensive against team never trade up.
team never trade up because it's just such a blanket statement. It's such an easy thing to say. You sound really responsible, but
yeah,
whatever. The Bills didn't trade up for Diggs, but one time they traded their first-round pick for an established player, and how'd it go? It's their best first-round pick in the last 10 years other than Allen. The best one. Mm-hmm. Just trading for the established player. So
I'd almost like to do an exercise, too, in how they acquired these picks. Like, how many of these picks are because they trade down in previous drafts? Because if there are any like that, you could just take the whole series of the whole series of moves and say, well, they didn't really trade up. They traded down to trade back up, so it almost cancels each other out. You just move the pick a year. You know what I mean? Kind of like what they did with Worthy last year.
Right.
Where they didn't really, they did trade down.
But they pick slid.
They traded down so that they could trade up in another spot.
Right.
So, but not all of those would be this case, right? They got the second for Diggs. They got, there's compensatory picks in there. So they wouldn't all be because they just moved down in previous drafts.
803-0550. Trey White's back. If you want to give us a thought on that, you can. We're happy to have you. Sabres season comes to an end. They win last night, beating the Flyers at home, and we expect locker cleanout today and tomorrow with the assorted Sabres brass meeting with the media tomorrow. Lindy Ruff wins his 900th career game, and his answer to that was, means I've been coaching for a long time, not much else. So anyway, we'll get some more calls in, and I've got a thought on, you know, how the Bills should approach the offseason to get you to the top of the hour based on something Chris Trapasso said about the Rams yesterday. So lots to get to. Paul Hamilton, 8:30. Happy Friday. It's going to be warm today. Warm and windy on WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Carried up ice, a 2-on-1 on entry. J.J. Paterka fires and scores. We'll be right back. the second. It's 4-1 Buffalo.
That is Dan Dunleavy on the call of the first, one of the first moments of the game. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Sabres beat Philadelphia and close out their season. We have the lottery order, and the Sabres have the seventh best odds. The Flyers, by getting 0 points, stayed back 4 spots.
Mm-hmm.
They would have leapfrogged the Sabres, the Bruins, and the Kraken. Instead, the Flyers have the 4th best lottery odds. The Sabres have the 7th best, which means the chances the Sabres get a number one overall pick are 6.5%.
All right. Go 6.5%. They could have only dropped to 6th.
Yeah. Sabres finish 6-3-1 in their final 10 games. James Reimer plays the last game.
Yeah. By the way, very scary, almost injury that he had. Skate hit him up high, but he's okay, obviously. Thank God. 79 points. You want to guess where that ranks during this playoff? 14 seasons, where does 79 points rank?
Okay, I don't know that, but I do know something that I looked up. Because the Bruins had a terrible season. The Bruins had the 5th odds. They cratered out, kind of by design, once it got bad. And they sent a statement out to their fans, and this is horrible. This is a very challenging season. Joe, I found out that this season was the Bruins' first season under a 90-point pace. I do include, like, COVID lockout years, you know, some year. But 90. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and 90. Their first season under 90, this one, since 06-07.
Wow.
The Sabres, how many seasons over 90 since then? It's 3. They had 2 playoff appearances. But the Drought has had 1 season of 90 or more.
Yeah.
And the Bruins just had their first sub-90 in, like, 20 years.
Yep.
And there's a letter about how horrible it was for them.
The Sabres have obviously missed the playoffs 14 years in a row. The Bruins this year missed the playoffs for the 8th time since the original 6 stopped.
Hmm.
So since the original 6 era, the Bruins missed the playoffs now 8 times, and that is it. By the way, the answer on where 79 points ranks, that was the 5th best season of the drought. 5th most. Last year, 84. Year before that, 91. And then the first year of the drought, they had 89 points, 11-12.
All right. Who's better next? Who makes the playoffs next? Sabres or Bruins?
If I looked at the rosters, I would tell you the Sabres, but doesn't it feel like you have to pick the Bruins?
I don't know. I mean, don't know.
Part of it is they're going to be obsessed with not having that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the tools and the reputation and the willpower, I think, to turn that around. That I'm not sure if the Sabres have any of those 3.
Season's over. Tomorrow we expect Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams to speak with the media so you can get their thoughts on how it all went. Lindy's back next year. We do know that. I saw Frank Saravelli wrote in his daily face-off that many expect sweeping changes in Buffalo. But is that just outsiders expect sweeping changes?
More than it's like people in the league that he's talking to? I took that as just like most fans would think naturally media that, 5 years missing, they'll fire the GM, right? That's what I took it more as, more than he knows something. But I guess I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, if that were
going to
happen.
If they were going to fire Adams, I've said this, I don't think we would see it coming. So that would be in the next 48 hours, I think. Or 24 hours even.
Yeah, would it be after exit meetings? Would it be before exit meetings?
I do remember Murray did a press conference and then got fired after.
That's right.
So I guess he could talk tomorrow and then get fired next week in theory.
Well, not expecting sweeping changes, and to the offseason we go. Jeremy and Joe. Okay, on the Bills and how aggressive they should be right now in this moment, this draft, and starting now, this kind of second window of Josh Allen's prime. I have a thought for that when we get back. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, and if you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get right to your calls on the other side as well here on this warming, it's warming up, but windy Friday.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow,
I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay. Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.